This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
Hey, hey. And welcome into the House of L podcast. I'm Lawrence Holmes. Thank you very much. We appreciate you. If you're new here, welcome, welcome, welcome. Please subscribe. We do a lot of Bears content here on the House of L YouTube page. If you're listening on Apple or Spotify, we appreciate you too. That game was exhausting. I'm going to get to it in a minute. We are brought to you by Remy Martin. Remy Martin, this is my city. Got the Remy sign. I'm still working. I changed things up in here, so that's a bare wall for right now. But obviously, Chicago Vice, we got that going, and that's the Sox parade. I think I'm going to put that over there, and I moved the pictures over here too. But that's not why you checked in on today's pod. That game was exhausting. It was exhausting because you're watching that game, and there's so much good that was happening inside of the game where you're going, okay, look at Dio Dangbo. Look at him get after the quarterback and have a whole bunch of pressures. And then at the end of the game, you see that he cost you, 30 yards in penalties? So it almost negates how well he played. Or Noah Sewell, who I thought played great, except for the one play where he didn't play great and it ends up being a touchdown. It looked like Kevin O'Connell got smart and said, let's get that guy in some pass situations. Let's isolate him in the pass game and let's try to make some plays. But it was exhausting because the Bears had a chokehold on this game. They were playing really well. You get the defensive touchdown. You have the offense that at times looked okay and then other times looked clunky, which I expected. And you do have the heroic stuff that Caleb did at the end. And if you've been listening or watching this podcast or the radio show, I feel very strongly about this. One of the things that I'm looking at inside of like an evaluation on Caleb is, I know that he can do that. I know that when the chips are down and the Bears need to rally, Caleb can do that. There is a history, whether we're talking about the Minnesota game last year, the Thanksgiving game in Detroit, both Green Bay games, there is a history of him doing that type of stuff. He can play hero ball. What I'm trying to figure out is, can he play in structure? And there were moments today where you can see where he still has a ways to go. I thought that he played very conservatively, and I don't mean that as a pejorative. I thought that he did a good job of saying, okay, I didn't like the look on the first read, but there's DeAndre Swift. I'm going to get him the ball. Or there's Cole Kmet. I'm going to get him the ball. I like that. I like that he was willing to check it down. The problem is that you want him to see DJ Moore open on a deep post earlier, or want him to see that Rome is open on a corner route in the end. Like, you want him to be able to see all of that stuff and trust it. And just let it go, because the guy, that sideline throw that he made to Rome, and I know that we are a society that is prone to hyperbole. I think there are two guys that can make that throw. Two. Besides him. Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. Those are the only two other dudes in this league that I feel like can make the throw that Caleb made on the sideline to Rome. It was unbelievable. And the thing that was unbelievable about it is how much zip he can get on the ball on the run. You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of that Mahomes throw in the Super Bowl against Tampa, where he like got parallel to the ground and still somehow hit his teammate in the helmet in the end zone. And I don't think the guy knew that. He's like, how is he going to make that throw? That's what that throw was like. That was an impossible throw. And there was Caleb making it. I'm used to some of the cool stuff, the impossible stuff, the rallying a team as they try and come back. I'm used to that with Caleb. I need him to be on time. And that's going to be part of the process. Like, I am definitely not here to talk bad about him, because I'm in the place of, I feel like this is going to get better as we get closer to the end of the season than necessarily the beginning. He started out 10 of 10 and then finished 21 of 35. So that lets you know they started to take things away from him. All in all, it's not horrible. And he got outplayed, and unfortunately, that is going to be a thing that happens nationally. People are going to talk about that on all of the shows. I don't know if you should care or not. You probably shouldn't. He shouldn't. But it is going to be discussed. 21 of 35, 210 yards, one touchdown. He also ran the ball really well. That was another thing that I enjoy. Six rushes for 58 yards and that touchdown run. And almost another one. I enjoyed that he kind of adopted a little bit of the Justin Fields plan of, you know what, I don't like it. I'm just going to get out of here. I'm just going to try and make some plays. And he did. He converted first downs with his legs. He converted big plays with his legs. So it's, I know the quarterback takes an inordinate amount of blame, and I do think that that offense stalled. Like, I'm writing it all down and I'm starring all this stuff. And I wrote down, as the fourth quarter was beginning, I'm like, man, if they don't make any mistakes, they're going to win this game. Even if they would have won the game 17-6, I was like, if they don't make any mistakes, they're going to win this game. And then the mistakes came. Like, you open up the fourth quarter, they kept going backwards. They end up in a 3rd and 30. Santos misses a kick. And I said into our tech stream, the show tech stream, that was a series of mistakes that opened the door for Minnesota to gain some confidence. And then they did. I'm so sick of Aaron Jones. I'm sick of that dude. I got to tell you, I love watching him play, because he is a killer when it comes to the Bears. And his stat line doesn't even look great. It's just that in the moments when you got to have it, he gets it. If you need 1 yard, he gets it. If you need a third down conversion, he gets it. If you need someone open in the flat to turn a 6 yard gain into a 10 yard gain, he gets it. And there he was with a touchdown reception and a big 3rd and 1 conversion. Mason did a number on them too. His numbers don't look great, but they were good enough. 4.5 yards a carry and a bunch of big runs. Like, you start looking at the mistakes, like the 3rd and 30, the Santos missed kick, then Dio with illegal hands to the face. Luckily, Jonathan Owen saved them with that 2-point conversion, but then they come right out and it's 3 and out. The sack by Hargrave, Swift getting tackled for loss, Van Ginkle almost getting a touchdown of his own by jumping a route and almost taking it to the house. And then that's when Aaron Jones starts doing his thing. Tyreek ends up with a pass interference. You have a blocked punt. Like, it was a disaster, a 3-phase disaster in the fourth quarter. And I understand any Bears fan that's frustrated, and you heard a lot of the frustration inside of Soldier Field. And it's like, that's the part that like really sucks, because everyone seemed to be in a partying mood. And that game, even though it was ugly, and you're watching the Bears, for the most part, keep J.J. McCarthy frustrated. And then he stopped being frustrated. Kevin O'Connell is a hell of a coach. And I can't wait to go through some of the adjustments, like after hearing him, and some of the adjustments that were made, like, for example, the Noah Sewell thing, like, let's create mismatches and put him in pass coverage where he's not as comfortable, even though he played a great game. But looking at that, and Brian Flores is a crazy person. And I say that with all respect and love. And I was, you know, a lot of us at the station are texting each other as games are going on and talking about stuff. And I texted Layla and I was like, yo, this dude's about to get medieval on the Bears. Once they got the lead, once it was 20-17, you're seeing him be like, all right, cool. Now we can do all of our fun shit. Let's send 7. Let's send 8. When at the beginning of the game, if you watch, they were rushing 3 or rushing 4, drop 7, drop 8. And that they were happy with it. But once he got a lead, he turned them boys loose. He turned them loose. And it made for some really interesting football. But if you just look at the drive chart in the second half of this game, it pretty much tells you everything that you need to know. It's awful. And they lost. And now there's work to do. You got to get your healthy guys back. Does it make a difference if Jalen Johnson is out there? Sure, it does. But for most of this game, they did a good job on Justin Jefferson. But here's the thing about great players. They really only need one real opportunity. And Justin Jefferson actually had a couple of drops in this game, which is uncharacteristic. That could have been big plays, but he came through. When the kid needed him, he came through. And the Bears need players like that. And I know we're talking about whether it's him or Ja'Marr Chase, 1-2, as far as the best wide receivers in the league. But still, you need people to come through. And in this game, they didn't. And it's too bad. Like, this loss feels awful. And it's only the first game of the season. And there's no reason to like panic or anything like that. It's just, damn, like, this should have been a game that they won. Like, if you're sitting there watching this in your office, or if you're sitting there at home and you're like, yeah, they should have won. But they didn't. And I do like that Ben Johnson is emotional. I enjoy watching him on the sidelines be expressive. But even the challenge was questionable. Their timeout usage was questionable. It's the first game for him as a head coach. So you give a little dispensation in that regard. But damn, they should have won this game. They should have won the game and they didn't. So there's a lot to kind of go through, but I hope that gives you an idea of kind of where I'm at on this. We'll have more stuff as the week goes on. After we hear from the particulars, I like to try and get stuff out to you as soon as the game is over while the thoughts are fresh in my mind. But I'll go back and watch the press conferences and see what is said. It's just a shame that they lost this game when there was a lot of good to build on. And then it's just taken away from you. So shout out to the Vikings for that. J.J. McCarthy, LaGrange Park's own. He was not scared. So There's still a lot of work to be done, but we thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. If you're on Apple or Spotify, give us 5 stars, write a review. It's helpful. For those of you here that want to comment, I'm here for it. I usually will jump into the comments occasionally and hash stuff out, but it just is like a perfect night in Chicago, and then the Bears lost. The weather was perfect. The vibe was perfect. Things were going great, and then the Bears lost. And now we all end up being like, oh, man, what does this mean for Detroit? And they weren't very good against Green Bay, but damn. I will talk to you next time, all right? Keep your head up. There was a lot of good that happened in the game, so there's stuff to build on, and the film is going to be fun for those guys. I'm probably not that fun, but we'll see where things stand. I wish this were a better podcast. I wish we were talking about them hanging on and winning. It would have felt great. This feels not great, but we'll see how they bounce back and get ready for noon kickoff Sunday against Detroit. I'll talk to you next time. Peace.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.